is a Vencast Studio production.
We are back. Hey, it's good.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to episode 11 of Riding the Pine. I'm Hondo here with Guy and MTG. What's up, guys?
We're back.
Oh, man. Second week of basketball. We're in it. We're just completely in it.
Yeah, I mean,
we're in it.
I'm not sober yet, tsunami. So I'm just going to repeat myself until I understand.
Best practices. I appreciate that. Absolutely. Week two, week one in the books.
Oh, man. Where should we start from the top?
I mean, let's go. Like, what's the recap?
Okay.
Recap of the week.
Okay, so I'm starting from last Saturday. So this is starting from 10/29. Okay, just quick hits. Bucks squeak one out over the Nets and celebrate like they've won the championship. The Blazers took the Nuggets, but that sucker went to OT. The Grizz versus the Wolves was a good game. Unfortunately, not the right ending to that game. Yeah. The Rockets Mavs, like that's definitely a tight series, like all season long, and that's an interesting matchup and remains so this week. The Jazz, man, they take one over the Spurs, which very, very surprising.
Indeed.
Lakers, definitely, they start kind of piling up some wins starting on the second. The Suns take the Blazers in OT.
That won't hurt.
Thunder edges the Clips. That's impossible to predict.
That was impossible.
I'll continue to rant about that later. Golden State over OKC in the one of the most, you know, media-driven games of the entire season.
Hype train.
The game did not live up to that. Cavs absolutely crushed Boston. So, and man, it's East is looking tough. Knicks over Bulls in the D Rose comeback game.
That's right.
And then,
last but not least,
oh my God, the Lakers,
Lake Show baby.
Just like the amount I had to drink after this game last night was incredible. Like, just what happened?
I mean, I don't even understand it. I mean, Larry Nance Jr. just like dunked you into an alcoholic stupor.
Oh my,
that he rose up and he just didn't fall down.
Just kept rising. Yeah.
That dunk by Larry, that's an insane dunk. Dunk of the year, not nominee. Man.
Early season.
All right, so of the games, give me kind of thoughts and rundown.
Well, the most surprising was the one last night. I didn't watch it. I just saw some highlights. But
They
were up 21, I heard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
D'Angelo Russell had the sick play in Clay's face, which was just like taking, you know, MIP reins from us and putting it straight into MTG's.
Man, they're taking like deep three shots. Like they're passing. Their passing down low was incredible from the Lakers. And, yeah, Nance and these other guys, like the dunks going on in this game.
Yes.
Sick.
No, I mean, essentially they did everything right in that game, and Golden State couldn't hit a shot. The ball movement wasn't great. The defense wasn't very good. And the Lakers, you know, they just looked like they actually cared about trying to win that game, right? Like they had a bunch of young guys who were just out there hustling.
Super fresh.
Yeah, making real good plays. That's the other thing, right? Golden State, second night of a back-to-back, traveling down to the Lake Show. But even so, like, that's not a game Golden State loses last year, right? Like,
no.
You know, the Lakers went up a little bit. Last year, Golden State would have just came in, you know, settled things down. Curry and Clay would have started making threes. And then all of a sudden, you'd look up again and Golden State would be up by 15. And that's, I think, the biggest change between last season and this season so far is just that they seem highly beatable, right? Last year, it was just like no matter how many they got down, that Golden State was going to make that rally and then they were going to bury you. And this year, even a team like the Lakers, like, has a chance, right? They do everything right, they can win. Whereas last year, Lakers do everything right, still not going to win.
So wait, last year the Lakers beat the Warriors in a very similar fashion. It was kind of a beatdown, and Curry and Thompson didn't like hit a three that game. It was like two or three for
Was that a back to back situation?
I don't know that
last year too.
I wouldn't know, but I remember one of their nine losses was against the Lakers.
No, okay. For sure. I just meant more just so like these terrible teams, like they didn't really seem like they had a chance last year.
I understand. So. Yeah,
but yeah, no, you're right. Maybe there's some in the water there down in LA. You know,
maybe some like Luke Walton has the inside scoop.
I think he's cooking up some barbecue sauce for the team or something like that. Just a special sauce. Everybody's just amped, just hype. But no. So that was that game really stood out.
But how do you? So sorry for interrupting there. But the how do you go from that game with Golden State to the Golden State crushing OKC the night before? Like it's two different teams playing.
Well, that's what I was about to get to this entire week. I think what categorizes everything is the volatility, right? You saw the Jazz and Spurs trade wins, right? You saw Chicago lose to New York, but New York lose to Detroit, right? Like you saw all these different teams that, you know, Blazers win in OT, then they lose in OT, on these last second shots. New Orleans keeping it close and then losing every single game, right? So to me, the thing is just that these games have been close, a lot of OTs. I'm getting a lot of alerts on my phone, just interrupting my evening, just about how many great games there are every night. And to me, that's a big change from last year. Last year, there was a lot of blowouts. There's once the team got up, you would just kind of see them bury them because of that three-point line, right? Everybody's using it so heavily that once you get up big, you know, those leads, you know, kind of get cemented. People start resting their starters. And early on in the season, we're just seeing a lot more competitive games, a lot more parity night in, night out.
I like it.
That description, parity, is key because, like, last year we already kind of knew what was the top four of each conference.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of, everything's in flux after one, you know?
Yeah, I would say, I think we're seeing more parity in the West than we are in the East. I think the teams, the higher teams, especially the Raptors and the Cavs, are still way above the rest, but there is a lot of parity in that, especially in that like 3-8 range. For sure. So
So I think at the end of the day, that's what's really been fun about this week too, is just kind of seeing, you know, what the trends we saw in week one, which ones are kind of trailing off a little bit, which ones kind of look like they keep going. But there's very few teams that are, you know, 4-1, 5-1 and stuff like that. Yeah. Almost every team is some version of 3-2, 2-3. Mm-hmm. So, you know, early on, but
I like that. I really, really like that. Same. It just makes it so entertaining to kind of tune into the games and continue to follow along because, especially last season, we had major blowouts, and it was just like I would just shut the games off. Like I wouldn't even stay tuned. I would just like check back on the scores in the morning because it was like, oh, they're up by 20. What's the point of even watching the rest of this game?
As the compulsive gambler in you would attest, last year was a lot easier to predict. This year, I'm losing left and right. I'm going under. I'm like sub 50% now.
Man, I'm at 65%. That's but I'm picking all right. I'm picking all right. But
it's early in the season, but I expect better out of both of you.
Hey, you know, my goal is to go like 70% all season.
All right.
But yeah, clearly, okay. Go ahead, sir.
But I don't even know if I can do that. Like, I think there'll be some trends after we get into it. Like, this is still early ball, and like stuff will sort out more. But man, picking that, it's gonna be tough.
Yeah. So clearly, the biggest surprise was obviously the Lakers over the Warriors. But what about some like notable players, notable stats, and surprises that you saw throughout the week?
DeRozan is making his mark, man. He's making his mark. He was like, let me just get into his actual.
He's like averaging 40 points.
Yeah, I think it was like
35.
Yeah, nearly 36 points, 35.8 points.
He's not letting up.
No. But man, that is absolutely incredible. And Lillard is just like his from the very beginning when I, you know, just couldn't comprehend that like. He was going off on his MVP tear in the beginning. Right. Like, he's continued that. And I think he dropped like 40 last night.
No nights off, you know what I'm saying? Big game Dame. Not playing with you.
Oh, man.
It's insane how, you know, just coupling up on that word parody, like, we're having these stars emerge and we're seeing nightly performances from people that, you know, we could kind of write off early in the season, but we can't do that now.
No.
There's so much at play right now.
Yeah.
No, for sure. And I think that's the thing is that, like, you know, we're seeing a rebound year from Anthony Davis. Harden is back to his MVP caliber form. So, last year where we had a couple injuries and, you know, it was a little bit more cut and clear, you know, Curry running away with everything, you know, LeBron doing LeBron things. But outside of that, you know, it was a little bit tough. Now, you know, now just like night in, night out, you're seeing all these young stars emerge. And, you know, I can't even wait for the younger young guns, you know, Carl Anthony and B to show up in those conversations.
I was watching that Thon Maker from the Bucks like his shot was just so smooth, man.
Oh sure.
I'm so stoked to continue to watch the Bucks, even if they don't do much this season. I think that there's a lot to come from that organization.
Yeah, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Greek Freak, is like breaking the game.
Yeah,
clearly,
absolutely.
I don't understand how he jumps from the top of the key and dunks, like just with peak altitude. It's insane.
I got to go into one more notable stat. Harden is pulling off like 12 dimes per game.
Boom. We talked about this in the prediction show.
My goodness.
D'Antoni offense.
Yeah.
I didn't think it'd be that high, though. Like, that's really high. I think it's like two assists above. Yeah, he's two assists above LeBron. So LeBron, Wall, and Westbrook are all pulling off 10 apiece. So, man, that's
so nuts. That's the thing, right? Like, when you play ISO ball, all of a sudden, you know, you'll get your stats, you'll get your points, but you're not going to be dishing it that much. All of a sudden, this is like James Harden hopefully realizing that, hey, I can, like, get everybody else involved and still be in the league lead conversation for scoring. Oh, yeah, like, oh, yeah. I can have the best of both worlds, and I hope that he, you know, takes this with him for the rest of his career, you know, for however long the D'Antoni situation lasts, but just, like, afterwards even. Like, let's see a James Harden that can do it all.
Yo, James Harden is fun to watch right now. In seasons past, he just played that foul game.
Yeah.
He's not really doing it as much this season, and he's distributing, he's passing, he's at peak Harden.
Yeah.
Just thinking of like what OKC was like with Harden, Westbrook, Durant, Ibaka. Like, what did they do? This is like all stars galore and like Hall of Famers in every position.
Yeah, it's like the Twins. You know, we have all star players, and then we let every one of them go.
So as much as I didn't like watching Harden last season, the years past, he's a lot of fun to watch right now.
Yeah. Wow. We're saving that. So
okay,
saving that in the
and auto tuning it.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Okay, favorite moments, awesome moments from this last week in ball.
Oh, man. For me, it was just seeing all those close games in Portland, really. Yeah, just like, you know, seeing them. I don't know. They run the best out-of-timeout plays. They always have great execution. And you know, at the end of the shot clock, at the end of the game, Dame Lillard's one of those players where you're just like, more times than not, you're like, I think this is going in. And that's a really rare trait to have, right? You think with Curry, you think with Durant, but Dame Lillard's up there. You just like, he has the ball, and you're just like, this is probably going in. So for me, I just love seeing them roll.
Yeah, that moment when he like he got that game winner, and he just checked to his watch, and he was like, it's Lillard time, baby. that was clutch. Like, I remember Lillard time, you know Miller time from Reggie Miller when he would do that. He wouldn't do this, but
yeah,
Miller time.
Taking on the legacy.
Yeah.
Man, I thought the passing from the Lakers in last night's game was incredible.
Really?
Like, I mean, but because they were getting into the paint and they were getting around some pretty awesome defense from, well, what's supposed to be awesome defense from Golden State, and they were just getting in and like making all these buckets and it, like all of these dunks. And it was just like, it was remarkable how good it was last night and remarkable how poor Golden State was.
Yeah, they just looked a little lethargic.
They were just throwing the ball away. Like, you go back and watch it. It'd be funny to watch the condensed version of that game. Just see how many thrown balls there are.
Maybe that's the irony, right?
Yeah.
KD going to Golden State because he wants to have more fun playing basketball. Doesn't look like they're having a lot of fun early in the season. Doesn't really look like, you know, a lot of smiles.
But speaking of passing, and I don't normally talk and give praise to LeBron, there was a game last night, Cleveland, we're up, you know, pretty big, I guess. LeBron had this insane skip pass just across the baseline to an open, you know, Dunleavy, because apparently they have Dunleavy on their roster. And he switched to three, and I was just like, man, there's only one person in the world right now that can make that play. And it was just unbelievable to see that.
Wow.
I think Bledsoe's game winner was probably peak of the week for me.
Okay.
Peak of the week. I just made a segment.
Oh. Boom.
Boom.
That's it.
And it hit me right in the G spot.
Coming up later.
But, yeah. No, but Bledsoe's game winner was pretty sick. And just the celebration of the fan base and the team right after that was pretty cool.
Sure.
Because no, he like, he played that out in his head like 10 times because he was like 4 seconds, 3 seconds. No, wait until exactly 1 second to get that shot off.
I mean, it was so I tuned into that game really late, and I think I just flipped the game on for that last play. And like, that was that shot was hard as hell, right? Yeah. Like, he was doing a fadeaway three. You know, admittedly, Dame Lillard decided to reach in for a steal right before then, an idiot. But it doesn't matter. He still recovered well and got a hand in his grill, fadeaway three, falling out of bounds, happened to make it. That was an impressive shot. Yeah. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, that one's not going in. But that was great, for sure.
Right.
So I didn't watch this, but did one of you guys watch this? The Aaron Gordon 360 dunk?
Yeah.
So what happened? He's just on a breakaway?
Well, you know, he just stripped the ball from someone not looking, similar to what Lou Williams did to Klay Thompson last night.
Yeah.
He did that same thing where some other guy with the ball on the right hand was not looking, facing his back to the paint, you know?
Sure.
And Gordon stripped him and just did a reverse 360. It was pretty insane.
Wow. Wow.
Just to see that in a live game is awesome. And it just, like, gave me flashbacks, you know, to, like, last season's NBA dunk champ, you know, potential.
Yeah. All right. So let's move into just a couple terrible moments. Cousins getting 6 fouls in one quarter.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I don't know. What's harder, Klay Thompson making 30-something points in a quarter or Cousins getting 6 fouls in a quarter? It's very difficult. Yeah. Like, you got to try.
I'll also tell you a terrible moment here that I don't have listed, but it's Curry was like 0-for-9 last night from 3.
Yeah, 0-for-10, yeah.
Yeah. This is the first game. The stat was like the first game in 157 games he hasn't made a 3-pointer.
Yeah.
It was,
I'm just hoping they get this all out early in the season, right? All these, you know, these wrinkles to get out, and then they start rolling because, it's not pretty.
Here's a really stupid question, because I know the answer is no, but have we kind of forgotten about Steph Curry? Has the league moved on from him? Because this is quickly becoming Kevin Durant's team again.
That was a hot take.
Wow.
That's too hot for me. I'm not with you on that.
No, I know. I know the answer's clearly no, but like
no, yeah.
It's feeling like Kevin Durant's team.
Well, so here's the thing, right? It's feeling like Kevin Durant's team because he's playing OKC ball. Because every time he's getting his shots off, getting his points off, what do you see? Steph Curry not really making shots, Klay Thompson not really showing up. Like, it's not really a coincidence, right? Like, Russell Westbrook and him trading baskets back and forth in OKC, that's what he's used to. If he can't get his points in the flow of Golden State's offense, what does Golden State have? They're predicated on flow and rhythm and selfless basketball. And, you know, it's been necessary for him early on in the season to kind of take over in games because Golden State hasn't been able to put it up. But when he does it in a manner that is so, you know, just centric, everything's around him, it's not going to get it done.
Right.
Oh, man. I need time to digest that Curry comment. maybe next episode. All right, so we're gonna be right back with the three-man weave.
Woo!
We are back.
Hey, what's good, fellas?
What an answer.
The only answer to this question, not even the correct one, the only one, is Russell Westbrook.
Interesting.
I'm doing Harlem Globetrotter shit around my body, spinning on my finger right now. The second candidate. Will crying LeBron replace crying Jordan in the meme?
Okay, we are back with the three-man weave.
Weaving. Sneaker squeaking.
All right, MT.
Sound of nets.
We ain't leaving.
Man, it's just a wrap the whole time. The whole time.
Man, we're getting it in.
Man, week two. Where are we going?
All right, here's where we're starting off. Week two. We've had enough of a sample size where I feel like there needs to be a little bit of a readjustment around the league.
Yeah.
We need a nickname exchange.
Okay.
A lot of these nicknames that are going around in the league, they've been there a long time. These people are just well-known by these nicknames. I feel like some other people actually deserve them, though. I think we need to realign the nicknames with what people are actually doing.
Okay.
So in that vein, let me kick it off right here. Russell Westbrook.
Mm.
Call him Boogie. He's always dancing. He's got the pregame dance, pregame,
Okay.
after game, all the thing. Boogie. I just want to be him to be going down the lane, tomahawking on somebody, and then just, you know, Boogie.
Wow.
I just feel like it works better. Nobody plays Sacramento games on TV. You know, even happening.
It makes fashion sense, too. You could call him Boogie.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. I like that.
You could call him Boogie. I'm like, Boogie's going to be pissed, but, like, we'll get him another nickname.
I have a nickname for him.
Okay.
Ooh, I like
that. All right. Roll into it.
Yeah. So this player used to play for Doc Rivers in Boston and in LAC. You know, he's a little crybaby. He's a big baby.
Mm.
Maybe, you know, instead of Glenn Big Baby Davis, We switch it to DeMarcus,
Big Baby Cousins. Ooh,
All he does is whine and cry. And
wow.
That flows a little bit. DeMarcus, Big Baby Cousins. I like that. He's got the whole Kentucky thing. Sounds like he's from the South. Just like...
It was either Cousins or CP3 as the Big Baby.
That'd be kind of funny. That'd be ironic. I like that. What you got?
So, I don't have a swap per se, but I do have a new nickname. A net new nickname. Mm. Now, I don't know what is Anthony Davis's current nickname?
The Brow?
The Brow. Switch out The Brow, and I believe that we should call him The Avenger after they after they lose any more games. I am predicting he's going to have like an all-time game because of how mad he's going to get. He's going to have like a Wilt Chamberlain game.
Nice.
See, I thought we could go and give the nickname Black Mamba to Anthony Davis because it looks like there's a Black Mamba snake on his forehead.
See, I was thinking of Black Mamba to D'Angelo Russell for last year's snitching.
What? How dare you? We're still bringing that up. How dare you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was just playing.
I was just going to nickname Westbrook Paparazzi. The media just follows him just every single game. And, what he was wearing in the last game, I'm like, man, he's just, permanent paparazzi.
Next one up I got is Deion Waiters.
Oh.
He has a nickname?
No, he's going to. Because he's holding it down in Miami, absent of one D. Wade. And so now we're taking that from D. Wade, and it's going to be D. Wade. Wait. Deion Waiters. D. Wade. Don't shoot it. Don't shoot it, man.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Boom.
I thought they were going to be like The Flash. Oh, man. Pistol Pete Maravich. He's just Pete Maravich now.
Yeah.
We'll give that to Steph Curry.
Oh.
Steph Pistol.
Steph? Wasn't it... It was just Steph Pistol?
I think it's going to be Steph Pistol Pete.
Stephen Pistol Pete.
Stephen Pistol Pete. I love that. We got to use that.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll just do the full name. Stephen Pistol Pete Maravich Curry. Hmm. Let's
go all
the way.
Why not? Wow. And bring his old name, or his true name, Odell.
So I'm still terrible with the swaps, but I'm going to go to Boris Akon Diaw.
Akon.
You got to explain that one to me.
I'm just embracing the Senegal roots.
Okay.
Oh, I see. All right.
I mean, he's got no game to talk
about. Boris Diaw's from France.
What? I thought he was from Senegal.
No, he's from France.
Not even close.
Well, I got nothing.
There's some French rappers out there that you can...
I got nothing. That was literally the worst nickname exchange that I could have.
Yeah,
it's not even an exchange. You're making your own rules.
I make. Wow.
All right, anybody, you got any left?
Loose ball fall.
Any left, Guy?
We got the Big Shamrock over in Boston that used to be the Diesel, the Shactus.
Yeah.
Mm.
Kelly Olynyk.
Wow.
Shamrock.
Wow. Shamrock.
I like it.
That's a good one.
All right. Brandon Ingram.
Sure.
Need him a nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Get his self-esteem up. He looks like he's half asleep all the time. He needs Melo as his nickname. Yeah. Get Carmelo out the league. He's almost done. He's putting up good numbers season, but Melo. Let's give it to a new generation. Pass the reins.
I like that. And even though this isn't a nickname, every time I see Brandon Ingram's name, I think it's Brandon Instagram.
Oh.
Every single time it doesn't even matter. I know what his name is, but I just every single time I see it, it's like, oh, it's Brandon Instagram again. So.
How dare. You were gonna be like Durantula.
Maybe he should get Slim Reaper because Kevin Durant didn't like it.
I like it. Let's do it.
I haven't followed the rules on the whole nickname segment, no. So
you're done. We're moving on. No dribbling. There's no dribbling.
I'm done. I followed out early.
That's right.
We continue
6 and a quarter. All right. In honor of the fact that postseason awards aren't going to be announced until after the entire you know, entire everything, like in the dog days of summer. Postseason awards we wish existed but don't, and the front runner for each award.
Oh, and the,
and the front runner.
And the front runner.
All right, so here we go. I'm going to kick it off right here. We got most improved player, but I'm going to go for a second MIP, most injurious player. This is the player that injures the most opposing players.
He'll definitely walk up and, you know, that's grab
Bogey.
His award.
It's got to be Bogey, right. Isn't it?
You think so? No. I mean, so here's what I have. I've got one Steven Adams.
That
dude is going to injure a ton of people. Whoever wins this award, by the way, receives a broken Kia Optima. it just doesn't work. It's just not in working order.
Used.
Injured.
Yeah. Injured Kia.
That's who you got for most injuries? You clearly said Boogie.
I said Boogie. I'm going with Boogie. Absolutely.
Probably Draymond Green.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
He's going to take people out.
Trey Miz, huh?
Trey Miz. That's pretty
coming
good.
Coming for you. All right, who you got?
So, the postseason award. I'm not running on the same wavelength. I'm still not sober for this episode. I thought it would be funny to have the player with the fewest miles run on the court this next season. Man, I think it would probably go to DeAndre Jordan.
That's interesting because he actually plays defense. He gets it in on both sides of the court. I was going to go with Boogie, DeMarcus Cousins, for that one because that dude, he'll miss a shot and just hang out. Yeah, he's getting a Coke, having a smile.
And it's possible to measure.
We're basically DeMarcus Cousins right now.
It's possible to measure this, though, because they actually measure the number of miles every player runs on the court now. So.
See, the way that I was thinking it was like, who's riding the pine with us? You know, who's on the bench the most?
Okay.
And then he just sits and accepts his award. You know, that's awesome. Who's us on
yeah,
the bench?
Yeah, we can hand out that award. We can present it.
Yeah, that's Patty Mills.
Adam Silver, holler at us.
Yeah.
All right, and last but not least, just real quick, 2 weeks into the season, who looks good right now, but you shine it a little bit, you shine that turd a little bit better, and it's fool's gold. So which teams are having some success right now, which players are having some success, and you just think, man, they got to revert to the mean, they got to come back to normal. How you feeling?
There's no way. There is absolutely no way DeRozan stays at this level. This is like stratospheric right now for him. He can be at a top 10 player, but he is not number one. Not number one in points scored. Mm. I don't think that's possible.
Speaking of nicknames, can we just call him D-Rose from now on?
Oh, wow.
D-Rose? Exchange?
He'll probably end up in court, though. You know how those things go.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to cleanse that nickname. Let's see. Fool's Gold. I got to say Oklahoma City. You know, 4-1 right now, just jamming. You know, they lost to Golden State, but they've just been trying extremely hard, putting up big minutes, big effort, you know, just being expended to get these wins over these teams that haven't been that great. The Clippers game, notable exception, but I don't think that can continue at that pace.
Right. In terms of Fool's Gold, I think in the opposite direction, I think the Spurs are going to click soon. Right now, they're kind of letting up on a couple teams like...
The Spurs are going to click. They're 5-1.
Clear. I had nothing to drink, but
it's in there.
No, but I get where you're going. Like they're not completely gelling yet. Right. Like they could be perfect if they.
So that's going the other way. Fool's Gold is like who's doing well, but we think it's not actually doing as well as their numbers would suggest.
Yeah. I would say, you know, like the Lakers are, they've had a nice high early end season. True. They're going to definitely revert back to the mean from what you said last week, and they're just going to be an average team at best. I would say things like Atlanta and Sacramento, they're probably winning early games this season just because teams can't really match up well against them. But, and like Dwight Howard's scoring 31 points. No way is he going to do that again in a game.
I think the Grizz are, they're running a little. Even though they're 500 right now, I still think they're running hot. I think they're gonna actually go below this pacing and get out of the. They're seventh in the West right now. I think they'll slide even further.
Yeah.
Also, really randomly, but the TJ Warren is having like an incredible run right now. Like, where did that come from?
Phoenix needs someone who can score. That's not Devin Booker.
That's it, right? It's just like, this is like Portland Syndrome last year, where it's just no one knows these dudes, and so they come in and can catch teams off guard and start putting up big numbers.
It's incredible.
Fool's gold. Definition of.
Ooh.
Boom. I think the lack of assists from Jennings and Rose are going to change in terms of what's fool's gold in the opposite direction. I think they're going to rise, and Porzingis is going to see more offense, in my opinion, because they need it, honestly. And I think, didn't they just play, or are they playing this week? They just played, right?
Who's that?
Knicks and Bulls?
Knicks-Bulls played last night.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, I missed it. This week is Houston and Atlanta, I think. And so it's like Dwight Howard's, you know, return to Jamestown.
Oh. Jamestown.
What is the more surprising stat in the season? Despite the fact that New Orleans Pelicans are 0-4, Anthony Davis has over 150 points in four games.
Whew. Wow.
Or DeMar DeRozan and his 36-point average per game. Or OKC and Westbrook.
I think the most surprising has to be Davis, like, just completely going off and them still not winning a game, man. Right. I think that has to be definitely the craziest.
I don't know. MJ early in his career was putting up crazy points, and his team just wasn't very good, right? And that's kind of what this kind of reminds me of is, you know, early young MJ just getting his numbers and not able, you know, just you need a team behind you. I think DeRozan, like you were talking about, has to come back to earth. To me, that's the most surprising. You knew Russell Westbrook was going to come out hot this season. You knew the OKC dudes were going to want to play good for him. They just can't sustain that for 82 games, right? But DeRozan coming out, just lights out, scorching, right? Like, I don't know if anybody else saw that coming, especially after getting the contract. That never happens.
That never happens. And my answer is DeRozan as well, just because, you know, most the trend of the NBA is 3 points and 3 point shots and in the post. He's kind of like this ancient thing, like it has been in the sense that he's just doing mid range shots and pull ups from you know, after the shot clock is down to four, and he's swish bombing them, like it's insane.
Swish bomb.
I don't know, man. I'm still like
swish bombing. Like where? Hey, by the way, in this three-man weave, where is your hair comment? Where is your LeBron hair comment?
I have this new question for you guys. Oh, okay. So, would you rather have LeBron James?
I thought that made it into every show. Also,
obligatory
with the NBA, with the NBA kind of switching up the awards, I also think they should give participation ribbons to every team that lands in ninth place and does not make the playoffs.
Just spiteful.
Come up on stage, you guys. Wow. Here's Vice President.
And then they just run an ad, the NBA cares.
Boom. All right. You got any other questions? Anything? The hottest takes, this side of the Mississippi. Three-man weave.
We out.
Newness on the internet is all about that novelty. Not novelty. Newness on the internet is all about that novelty.
It's Seattle Connection.
That Ancast now works.
All right, this is Hondo, the Ramblin' Gambler. And I'm back. And I am mad. I am really, really mad this week because, man, there's a couple of things that I just could not control this week. One, how am I supposed to bet on the fact that Curry can't make a three? This is 157 straight games. 157 straight games. He went 0-9. 0-9. How am I supposed to predict that the Lakers are gonna top Golden State? No one out there in their right mind is predicting that. What the fuck am I supposed to do about the Wizards? Like, I cannot find, like, any sort of, like, logical reasoning as to which games they win or lose. Absolutely nothing. And, oh, man. Anthony Davis, as incredible as he is, he could probably go off for probably 100. He could have a Wilt Chamberlain game, and they still cannot find a way to win. Absolutely incredible. They're like 0-5, and like sometime they're gonna finally like break through, and then they're probably gonna stack up some wins, but it's gonna throw off my gambling extremely because I don't really know what is happening in the Big Easy. I just have to get bombed, get some hand grenades, and try and predict exactly what's going to happen with him. All right, the JV team of Brooklyn is just they find wins, but I don't know how. I don't know if it's like in the new TV deal or something that says they have to win every so often so they can keep their TV rights or whatnot. But I cannot pick them. I cannot consciously pick them to actually win a game. Suns and Blazers go to OT. Suns and Blazers should not go to OT. Come on, Lillard. Like, if you're going to take control, close this in the beginning of the game. Don't take this to OT. Like, it's absolutely frustrating trying to predict. Like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to call it for the rest of the season. Like, the Portland Trail Blazers will have the most overtime games just because they don't want to close them out in regulation. They just don't want to do it. They want to give more game to their fans. So as of this podcast, I'm 65% for the season, hopefully trying to get up in that, you know, that 65-75 range. I don't think I'm going to get higher than that. I think I could actually swing way down when some of the matchups get a little bit rough to predict. All right, this is Hondo, the Ramblin' Gambler, and we're going to come back with a look at the next week and closing thoughts. We're coming to the end of the week two recap, and that means that we have to take a look at the week ahead. The RTP game of the week next week.
Week.
I think it has to be the Blazers-Clippers.
Gotta be. A lot of good games on.
Is that an NBA Thursday?
That is not an NBA Thursday game. There are some other good games, though. So we have Clippers-Spurs, we have Raptors-Thunder, which should be okay, Rockets-Spurs, Mavs-Warriors, and then Clippers-Thunder as well.
Yeah, see, I think that Blazers-Clippers, that's turning into a real rivalry, right? After last year, and Clips took the first game of that series this season. I can't wait for that one. It's gonna be heat. Dame Lillard coming back, and we'll just see if the Clippers can keep doing Clippers things. I like the Blazers in that one.
There are some pretty bad games next week too. I do have to mention as a public service announcement, dude, this Cleveland Philly game, even though it might be fun to watch, like that's gonna be just a blowout of epic proportions. Sacks. Kings Bucks not fun. Suns Lakers might actually need to be removed. Need to be removed from my worst games of the week. Dude, Pelicans Kings. Pelicans Bucks. Nah.
You hitting dirty on the Sacramento Kings and the Milwaukee Bucks right now.
And then I personally don't like this game. I don't like the Pacers 76ers. I'm not going to watch that game.
Yeah, that's just not fun. Not fun basketball.
Oh, but Pelicans Kings. No, Pelicans Bucks, man.
I don't know. Pelicans Bucks seems more interesting to me than Pelicans Kings. I don't want to watch the Kings under any circumstances whatsoever.
Like, preseason steal leader Matt Barnes.
I mean, at least last year we had like all my least favorite players, you know, all in the same place in Sacramento, and now Rondo's over in Chicago hurting my soul. But before last season, we can get Rudy Gay, Rondo, and Cousins all just hanging out on the same team in irrelevance and obscurity.
Right.
All right, Gee. It's time to close this. Final shot.
Okay. Thanks, man. my only shot.
I mean, this isn't three-man weave, but there still should have been no dribble there.
Right. It was a chest pass. It was a great chest pass.
I'm bringing Metta World Peace back in the news. He's so quotable. He's so newsworthy. Everything he does, everything he says is just a gem in society. He says, during a game, mind you, while he was watching, if I were president, I would allow everyone in the world 2 racist jokes per ethnicity per year. No losing jobs, by the way. OKC getting beat bad.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, This is incredible. In an election year like this, where you think you've heard everything, MWP, bringing it back.
Right in. Write him in. Write in Meta World Peace for President. That wraps up week two of Riding the Pine. I'm Hondo, here with Guy and MTG. We out.
This has been a Bencast Studios production.